Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pittsburgh Steeler fans, welcome to this week's episode of Steelers Touch Down Under. I'm Matty Peverell, joined by my co-host, as always, Marky D, Marky Davison. Well, actually, I'm kind of joining you because I wasn't here last week. How are you going?
No, I was the host of the show last week with Jeff and who else we had in there, Tate. It was a good time. I know you had a bit of a week off, so it was, you know, good refresher. You didn't miss too much. Like with our Steelers versus the Raiders, we didn't really, you know, I'm in such a funny feeling. But first, I want to start off the show. And how I'm feeling right now is a bit how, you know, you and I are Manly Seagull fans. And yes, we do talk about the Manly Seagulls quite a bit, but it has to be brought up. We did lose in the semifinals against the Rabbitohs two nights ago. And I have said before, I hate the Rabbitohs. They remind me of the Bengals. I just hate them with a passion. You know, we didn't play too well. The Manly made mistakes, so for us, we're feeling a little bit grim, aren't we, Matty, to do with our Manly Seagulls?
That's it. And, you know, like Portner in the live chat is in there right now. So, Shield, welcome, Shield. Great to have you in. Sorry to hear. I heard back to one of the shows the other day and heard that you got to miss your marathon with an injury, I think it was. So, you know, sorry that you had to do that. We've got Daredevil, as always. You know, Stacey Lynn, Micah, Kathy Forrad's in there as well. But Portner, you get one comment to have a crack at us about the Rabbitohs winning, and that's it.
That's no, it, mate. No.
I can't take any more than that. I'm a sore loser. Not happy about it, particularly the other team that made that grand final Super Bowl for next week. You know, Manly could have beaten them. But, hey, it just wasn't our week, Mark. Like, after the Raiders game, more injuries with the Steelers, and we'll cover those. And then you have Manly lose. You know, it's just not our week. Let's just say that. You have these. It's part of being a sports fan, but, you know, it sucks.
It's not a week at all. It just feels like a funny week because I was so high on what happened with the Steelers, you know, beating the Bills. And it was the best – for me, it was one of the best victories in like 8-9 years. It felt so good to be counted all off season. And then we come back and we lose to the Raiders. And that game was a bit like we never had control of that game. We never were really in front. We couldn't run the ball too much. The defense gave up big plays in the secondary, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, all the injuries happened, Highsmith, and you'll list them through. And then even this going into this week, we have people out. And then our Manly Seagulls lose, but they had a really great season. Like, you can't put that past them. They started from nowhere. You know, went to the finals. Nobody thought that. So I don't know. This feels to me, Maddie, like, I don't know what you think, but it feels like the beginning of the season again. Every single AFC North team's 1-1. It feels like, do we start again or where do we go from here at this point? We lose to the Raiders again. We lost to the Raiders and they're a good side.
Yeah. Before we crack into the Raiders, you know, cause they are a good side, Mark. And that's what I was going to say next is that when you look at the Oakland Raiders, I watched the end of the game against the Baltimore and I went back and looked at some of the highlights from the rest of that game. Unless, you know, the injury, you know, curse hits that Raiders team, they are going to make make the playoffs. They are playing well enough in that. Mm-hmm. They're going to take one of those wild card spots. I don't know whether they can get ahead of the Chiefs and the Chargers. The Chargers look really good. Like, I really like Herbert. He's a great quarterback. Like, we, you know, the rest of the league look out there. Because he's actually, just as a fun fact, he is one of like three players ever to crack 5,000 yards within 17 games. Like that's incredible from Justin Herbert there. But before I wanted to get into that, Mark, did you watch the James Harrison Football Life documentary?
Oh, I don't know. Did I watch the, can you guys see that or? Well, let me get closer.
You look like you're one of the blow up. You know the things that the American things. They have the blow up guys out the front. You can get like the Steelers or whoever they're playing. The big inflatable guys. You kind of look like.
Oh yeah, the big tackle dummies. Yeah, bloody oath. Yeah, I watched it 100%. I'm going to watch it again. It was so much fun.
What were your thoughts?
I just love James Harrison, and Debo is a man. We should call it the Debo Award. We shouldn't be called the Manly Award. I don't want to change it or not, but he's made of steel, mate. It was good. It was really good to see. And they always highlight the 99-yarder or 100-yard touchdown in the Super Bowl. He had it tough. It took him like four turns to get into the league. Didn't start until 29. You know, he had his problems with Goodell, and then, you know, during the times when he was knocking people's heads off. It's a good show. Like, it's a good hour show of Debo's life. And I think he's one of the greatest Steelers. I think he's one of the toughest Steelers we've had. Yes, he had his problems. Yes, he went to, you know, the Bengals, or he went to the Patriots. But the man's got to get paid, and he wanted to play the game. He didn't want to sit on the bench, so he wanted to get paid.
Yeah, I felt interesting. Like, I felt two things for me out of that, right? I struggle. The Patriots bit and the, like, this. All right, so there's three things for me, actually. Great. I respect his approach about business, right? I don't hold anything against them that they cut me. I know they need to get younger. But also, like, the Steelers are the team that gave you a shot. Without them, you would have had nothing. You wouldn't even be in the league. The least you could do is, like, bring on some of the younger guys. But I understand the business part of it, whereas, like, if you're not going to use me, I don't know why I'm here, kind of thing. And I agree with that. But there's a way you go about that. And, like, you heard sort of Joey Porter, who talked about how he was like, I was his teammate and then I was his coach. And I think this has also led to Joey Porter not really working out with the Steelers from a coaching perspective. But he was like, he just wouldn't show up to games, you know, all the rest of it. I get being left in the dark. But if you're on the roster, like, we saw it the other week. They make decisions up until kickoff as to whether players can play or not, right? You go there, you rock up, you're under contract, you turn up to play.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
So for me, like, when I look at Debo and then going to the Patriots as well, of all teams, you know, going to the Bengals, like, I don't know. On the back end for me, I'm like, is there someone that just wants revenge? Like, obviously he's a pretty angry man, dude, but, like, how much was he into that Steelers brand and how much was he not? But look, I get why everyone loves him, what have you. I just, you know, and I'm very thankful that he was a Steeler as well. But he's not the easiest bloke to like. I'm just going to put it that way. But at the same time, I really liked stuff like where he had that game of the three forced fumbles and the interception and the three sacks. And then, like, afterwards, the interview, the reporter was like, oh, that's a pretty good game. You seem pretty nonchalant about, like, the game you played. And he's like, that's one game. Like, work ethic. But the other thing that I think that we should all take away from this, which is a more macro level, bigger thing, is the fact that, as you said, he hit it at 29, right? We all expect players to just rock up out of college, a completely different game in many respects, and just work. Right. I was listening to this. I always listen to Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. Anyone that listens to this show or War Room knows that, right? They were talking about it with Sam Darnold. Look at Darnold, right? Mm-hmm. Darnold obviously had a crap O-line in the Jets, and now he's gone to the Panthers where things are a lot more stable. But the other thing is, he was like 20 when he came out of college. Do you really expect a 20-year-old college quarterback in a different offensive system to rock up into the NFL and play? And this is the thing that I think is really interesting when you look at, you know, some of the players that the Steelers drafted last year who were slightly older than what they've been in previous years. You look at super seniors, which I've talked about on War Room a couple of weeks ago, where you've got guys that, because of COVID, they're in their fifth and sixth year in college because they've got the extra eligibility. You've got to give guys time to develop. It took Bud Dupree 5 years to develop, right? Like, you know, even Minka, for as good as he is, his first season, he wasn't perfect, right? Devin Bush, his first year, you know, did well, but he wasn't, you know, necessarily the best player in the world. Look at Joe Hayden, what he did, you know, early on, and then he went into a bit of a lull in the Browns, and then he's come back. So for me, I just took the thing that I took away from that is sometimes you got to give players a chance, a couple, you know, to develop. And the other thing I think it shows too is look at the practice squad, right? That practice squad, it's a lesson to anyone there right now. Just because you're sitting there doesn't mean that you're not going to be able to make it in the NFL. You just need time to adjust to the systems, the training, the schemes. But yeah, pretty interesting. But yeah, as you said, Mark, a lot of players out now, you know, for this week's game. Obviously, the big name Big name there is TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith there. Deontay's out, but I think we James Washington, Chase Claypool, Juju, you know, Freemuth, Najee, we've got receiving options there, plus Ebron. But outside linebacker looks to be the big issue here. I know they've activated Derek Tuscar as well from North Dakota State into the roster. What are you thinking about the outside linebacker position? How are you feeling?
Derek who?
Derek Tuscar, I think his name is.
Never heard of the guy.
Yeah.
I think we're in a bit of trouble, to be honest. Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt are out. And even in the key point, I'll get back to this in a second, but the key point with Deontay being out and they shouldn't have ran him out in the field with the last 20 seconds to go, it caused an injury. And what are they going to do? 9 points down, they're going to win in the last 20 seconds and he gets injured from that play. Silly, very silly play to get one of your top receivers injured. But yeah, Highsmith and TJ Watt out. Oh boy, this is going to be an interesting game. If
it's
those
a
two
Melvin Ingram show, man, he's playing well.
He is playing well, but we need some leaders to get behind him. And who's going to be on the other side? It's going to be Jameer Jones, and he hasn't been tested in the NFL just yet. But you have a good, you know, a good quarterback to chase like Burrow too. So, you know, we always say standard to standard and next man up mentality, which it really is. But missing TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith. Oh boy, what do you reckon of that? Like, that's pretty heavy.
Well, I want to bring up Donald Nolan. Yeah, I haven't got to Cody White being elevated yet, but I appreciate you pointing that one out. Yeah, I mean, with those guys out, it's pretty interesting. And like, look, everyone's high on Jameer Jones, right? And everyone's happy to have a crack at me for loving Quincy Roche and you know, being upset that Quincy Roche didn't make it. Jameer Jones, step up to the plate, buddy. You know, you won that Isaac Redman Award. Like, this is time to shine, right? This is like, hey, we just talked about James Harrison, right? Now, obviously, it wasn't his rookie year. But he, like, you know, he was injured. Like, he came in after guys got injured. Big Ben did the same thing. I know Jameer Jones isn't necessarily the quality of those guys. Well, Jameer Jones was undrafted just as much as Harrison was undrafted. Show up. Come up and play. The problem for me, bigger in this, is – you could absorb the loss of Highsmith and Watt if you had Tuitt available. Not having Tuitt and not having Alualu,
suddenly
the strength of this defense, when you think about the questions in the secondary, now it's like this could be anyone's game, right? This could be anyone's game. And that's it is definitely time to step up.
Well, there's no Alualu, man. That's up the middle. You know, we have three big injuries already and it's only week three. What is happening to this NFL league? There are so many injuries around the NFL. It's crazy. Like, it's just like, you know, how do we not have TJ Watt into game three?
But
because he's pulled his groin.
But this is the thing as well. And I mean, these groin injuries, I was messaging with Owen David, who's in the live chat on our Twitter during the week, and you know, when you look at some of the injuries they've got right now, like you've got some Achilles injuries, you've got some groin injuries, you've got some abdomen injuries, something's changed in their training. Now, I know injuries are just part and parcel of the game, but you look at these are all often quite functional injuries. And having had like literally a lot of these, thankfully not the Achilles. And I wonder what they're doing on a training and plyometric side and all the rest of it. So that's going to be interesting to see as the season develops. But it also goes back to what a lot of people have said throughout the background to this season is, yes, we've got the top strength of schedule, you know, in the AFC North, but injuries change games. You don't know who's like week to week. You know, you have key players out, it's a big difference. Like, you know, the Browns, you know, Landry's out now for a long time. Beckham's yet is rumored to be making his debut. They're two key wide receivers, you know, for the Browns. You know, these injuries are going to change the game week to week. But when I go back to the Steelers and, you know, players stepping up as well, you know, the fan in me sits there and goes, okay, cool. If we've got these guys out, are we going to see, you know, from a pass rush perspective, will there be certain packages where Devin Bush is rushing the quarterback? Are there packages where Joe Schobert's doing that? Can Joe Schobert step into an outside linebacker on some particular schemes? You know, Could Buddy, what's Buddy Johnson going to do? You know, who have they going to got? Who are they going to get coming off the, you know, in from the into the box from the safety position? Are we going to see Terrell Edmonds, you know, crash the quarterback a little bit more? Like, this is the thing. We talk about how good Keith Butler is as an outside linebacker coach, and then now obviously he's the defensive coordinator. I'm interested to see what they throw up. Like, this could be total wild card, like Swiss Army knife kind of approach to the rush and going up against the Bengals. But equally, we know that I think it was against the Bills, there were two blitzes run all game.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, they had Oluwalu in there, right? And they had TJ Watt. But I wonder, like, the power of this Steelers defense. I mean, look for Cam Heyward, man. Like, Cam Heyward is going to go nuts in this game.
I hope so. I you know, Cam's our leader of this Steelers defense, and it's unknown territory what's going to happen in the next few days. This is why I think it's been a really funny week, because, you know, we found out this morning that TJ Watt was out and then some of these other players, and that's why I just find it, you know, you don't think to see that these injuries would happen so early into the season. And now, but this week with the Bengals, maybe they're an easier side than the Raiders, because the Raiders always have our ticket. They always have our number every single year. Every single time we play them, they beat us. So, and we haven't lost back-to-back games in, I think, like 3 years at home. So this is one for me. If they lose this game, and I know we might do our predictions later, but if they lose this game, I think we're in some big trouble.
All right. I'm going to take you on. I'm going to take you on that one, though. Like, yeah, it's going to be a problem. Like, even I said it in War Room, like, you know, this week, you got to win this game. But think about our Manly boys, right? Think about our Manly boys.
Mm-hmm.
They lost the first four games of the season. Now it's a 25 game season, so it's a bit different, right? But they lost, you know, everyone's background, they lost like by 40 plus points week one of the season, right? It was not looking good. The injuries, the works. They made it to what basically is the AFC Championship game, right? They came back and they did it. And so this is the thing. We've got 17 games. We've got time to get it right. Even when the bye is situated where it is, we could come out of the bye really strong. And this record, the Steelers' playoff hopes lie in those last six games of the season, right? So, you know, it's how you perform in those ones. But, yeah, the alarm bells will be ringing if they can't get up this week.
I knew you were going to say that, because we went through the schedule, you know, 2 weeks ago. And, you know, I think you have to win these games early to have a better chance later on, because there are harder games. But in saying that, you know, the Bills lost first week, and then the next week they won 35-0. So who can really pick it? Like, honestly, who can really pick what's going on at the moment? The Rodgers loses in the week one Green Bay, and then he wins next week. The Saints win, you know, beat Green Bay, and then lose to whoever they lost to, the Panthers. So, and Sam Darnold, the thing about this, Sam Darnold is 3-0. Like, this is
He's a good quarterback.
He's good, but Sam Darnold, mate. He's it's alternate universe at the moment with some of these teams. All the AFC North is 1-1-1. So
I think the Panthers. The Panthers are a good team. They got a really fast deep. What Matt Rhule is doing
true.
Over there next year, they'll be in a Super Bowl in the next two seasons.
But they beat lesser teams, and like the Texans were playing okay, and then they lost Tyrod Taylor, and then you start the rookie quarterback. So the NFL at the moment is trying to work itself out. I think that what the Steelers are going through now with the injuries is like we had, you know. I don't know. Maybe I'm too hyped up from the Bills win and then a little bit let down from the Raiders. I don't know where I sit. I don't know what boat I'm sitting in.
But I love that. I love that point you make, Mark. I'm not having a crack, but I love the point you make about the lesser teams. But we don't know what the lesser teams are, because it's week two. Do you know what I mean? But that's no. But I just mean, like, this Bengals team, I said it all off season, as much as like, I know you hate it because you hate the Bengals, but like, this Bengals team is getting better. Like, you know, right now, if I was playing the game for my life, I mean, the O-line is a big question for Cincy, but I'm picking Burrow to fight. If I'm playing a game to get me into heaven or hell, I tell you what, I'm picking Burrow over Mayfield, right? And I'm picking it with his wide receivers over what the Browns have every day of the week. Like, this team can score points. And when I look at, if you're going to be able to get into the Super Bowl, you got to score 30 points. And I want to go back to last week's game. That's my problem with this Steelers team. I don't see 30 points in them, and that's a problem.
Oh, it's a huge problem. They're not even controlling the ball. They had 49 snaps on offense. Like, they're not controlling the ball at all. All off-season, they didn't get our memo, Maddie. We said to them, you got to control the ball, run Najee, and they're just not doing it. Their defense is playing too many snaps on the other side. I do appreciate, like, the Bengals are a solid team. It shows you how good the AFC North is. They can beat us next week. I just really hope they don't, because I think we're in a bit of trouble. But it's an interesting matchup for them to come into our house. And we could be on the bottom of the barrel here on the AFC North if everyone wins and we don't.
Well, yeah, and this is the reality, Chev. But I mean, like, when you're 24th in the league for points that you've scored and 28th for yardage. Now, I get it. It's the O-line, right? Like, I completely get it. And I think, you know, whether Ben's done or not, like, the arm strength is there. It's not going to be the arm strength that's the problem. It's the speed. It's the time. Can you take the hit? Like, because even if you look at, if you go back and look at a couple of highlights of the Texans last week, right? Now, they lost that game. But Davis Mills, when he got in there, rookie, like, the guy played, like, 14 college games, and he played, like, one season as the starting quarterback in high school. The guy's, like, played some crazy stat, like, less than 32 games, and he's starting for an NFL team, right? But you watch it, and even though he lost, and you know, there were some mistakes that he made, he earned a lot of respect from the pundits, from the media, from the coaches, and his teammates. Because if you watch it, he copped three massive hits because he held onto the ball, wait, threw it, right, till a guy got open and copped it. And Ben is like one or two hits away from, that's it, we're done, buddy. And that's, I think, one of the problems with this O-line is that Ben can't take that hit. You know, if we rewind to 2007, yeah, cool. And I know I'm not saying anything that's new, but this is the problem. This O-line has to get it together. And everyone's up on Kendrick Green. I don't think it's Kendrick Green's fault. It's the tackles. Expect it from Dan Moore. I still think he's overshowing. To me, the big problem is Tukes, and it didn't help with Trey Turner. Trey Turner needs to act like the vet and the experienced pro bowler that he is. You know, he's got to step up to the plate.
I think it's all the O-line. The O-line just needs to shake it off and go play some, you know, some football. Let's go. Like, you just got to start playing together as a team. Otherwise,
maybe,
you know,
keep going. Sorry.
I've lost my train of thought. What are you going to say?
I was going to say, you know, have you seen the talk this week about replacing Renegade?
No. What? Why? Why would they replace Renegade?
Seen all this talk. Apparently, Renegade's, like, not recognized by, like, you know, millennials, and which not really millennials. It's more like Gen Zers and Zoomers and whatever. I was just thinking we could play Taylor Swift, Shake It Off. You can just do this and we can shake the
tape. I'm not going over to Pittsburgh again for the fourth time to hear in the third quarter, Shake It Off, Shake It Off. What are you doing to me, Maddie?
You know the lyrics.
I've looked her up a few times, just not for the music. You know what I'm saying? Look. I'm not going over there to listen to Shake It Off. I want to hear Renegade. Stop changing things. Like, just play football, run that steel football. What do you get me on a tangent here for, Maddie? Come on, man.
I don't want to change it. I don't want to change it at all. I liked it so much. I put a bet on a horse called Renegade yesterday, and it did nothing. So anyway.
Oh yeah, I'll do that too.
We'll go beyond that. We'll move on from that. So Mark, you got to introduce the Manly Awards last week. I wanted to find out, I wanted to get an update on this because I think it's quite funny, actually. I know that not everyone from BTSC, and I get it, people are busy, as being able to be part of it. But I think the Steelers post-game show is using a dud of the week. That sounds a lot like a dunce of the week, which is in our award category.
What's going on there, mate? Taking our work. We've got to come together like the O-line. Everyone's got to join in. And we've got to start
running our own, you know, running different routes.
If we run different routes, we go nowhere. You know, if the fullback goes for a dive and the halfback goes for a pass and yet Big Ben throws it to nobody, no one wins. We got to come together.
Mate, I'm a Steelers fan. I don't know what a fullback is.
It's Derek Watt, mate.
Do we have a fullback?
Well, we could be using him this week.
Nah, no, I mean, seriously. Look, I like Dave, to be fair. Like, Dave did talk about the use of a fullback on the Stat Geek show recently, and it was a really, really good summary of how you use a fullback. But at the same time, I don't think they use him in any capacity ever. And it's just a waste of salary cap at that point in time. But anyway, sorry. Go continue with an update on the Manly.
I'm just saying, well, you know, we've got the Manly Awards, and I think this week it's only you and me participated and another BTSC guy. We would like to see if other BTSC guys can get involved. It would be great to help our stats out and really have a good idea of the team. But did you want to go through the three now?
Yeah,
I missed that.
But before I do, the live chat is fire right now. If you're listening to this on the audio side, the live chat is fire. You know, we talked about Shake It Off, right? George Teston says, if anything, Hair of the Dog by Nazareth. Buck Dancer says, let's play Britney Spears. Oops, I did it again. Oh, when Ken throws a stupid pick. This is great. Owen David's like, Kylie Minogue boys, Locomotion, for all the Brits and the Aussies out there. And then Evan just says, when are we going to talk about pizza now? You know, it's absolutely, you know, fantastic. Anyway,
all right, we got to come together. So do you have the totals from last week, or do you want to go through the three and everyone in the live chat and audio guys?
Yeah, well, I'd love to know who was the who was leading after last week's game, because it was a pretty average game. But I would also like to know how we're going the total for the season. I know that the consensus Manly award for the best, you know, the biggest, you know, moment of the game, whatever, you know, seemed to be Najee Harris from that perspective.
Yeah.
And I think the Dante Moncrief Dunce of the Week award was Akello Witherspoon. But I know you're the one that's keeping the running totals as well. So, you know, keen to find out where we're sitting.
Yeah, after 2 weeks, we have, you know, Cam Hayward is on, he's first with 13 points. He's doing tremendous things with the Steelers here. I think that's a no-doubter. Second is TJ Watt on 12 points. And then third is Deontay Johnson. And they're both injured. So first, second, and third, you can't make that up. So if they, you know, they can't play this week, so they can't catch up. But yeah, if the other fellas want to get involved in the BTSC awards, would be great. If not, me and Matty will try and do it every week, third, second, and first. So we'll go. Do you want to go into our first one with the Raiders? I'll go first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll start from the top. So it's like 3 points. We do have a, we'll get to that super chat in just a little bit. So my first player for 3 points this week, is Najee Harris. Like he is trying so hard in this team. And we just can't, I don't know what the problem is with the O-line, but Najee is doing the best he can, and he's still only getting 40 yards a game. He got a touchdown, so I give him the three this week. Who would be your three?
Mine was Melvin Ingram. Ingram had a lights out game last week. I mean, his performance was terrific. I think we got that awesome sack. I think he had like four tackles. I think two of those were for a loss. You know, he had three quarterback hits. No, it was one for a loss, three quarterback hits. Yet for me, it's Melvin Ingram. He showed up. I think, you know, everyone sort of said he was washed up. I didn't think so. That guy's a quality player. And yeah, really excited, you know, for what he did. And then Owen David puts in Chris Boswell. I didn't have Chris Boswell in my points. I'm going to say that out right now. But, well, you know, he hit that 56 yarder.
Yeah, I've given him moving to 2 points. Okay. I've given Chris Boswell my 2 points. The man hit a 56-yarder. That's the longest kick in Heinz Field history. It's been open there for 20 years. You've got to give that guy some recognition. You know, I think he's playing really well. And knock on wood, we want him to keep going further. You can't knock one over for a record and not give any form of accomplishment there. So I think he's doing really good stuff with our Steelers. And we need him in these close games coming up.
That's it.
Who's your two?
My two was Pat Freiermuth, right? I know I'm really high on Freiermuth, like I was Highsmith last year, but like four receptions, four targets, 36 yards, loved it. I know that doesn't sound like it's a great stat line, but if we've got a tight end contributing 40 to 50 yards each week and he's getting to that level and beyond, perfect for me. I mean, that just takes pressure off with other players. I love it. His hands are really, really good right now. I don't want to put the jinx on him or put him in, give him the yips or anything like that. But yeah, it's for me, Freiermuth's showing the quality of exactly. Why he would have been the best tight end in this draft, right? And he would have gone in the first round if Kyle Pitts, you know, wasn't in this draft. You know, Kyle Pitts is a tremendous athlete. He's a Waller type guy. But Pat Freiermuth, I mean, he's fantastic.
He's doing great things, even with Pitts there. He joined the Falcons and they're going backwards. So I don't know what's going on.
That was a dud pick from them. How do they? They're looking back going, how did we make that decision?
They haven't been the same since Super Bowl 51, I tell you. They are just not a good football team at all.
Actually, did you see Tom Brady a couple of weeks back? They had him in an interview and he had like 328.
Oh, yeah.
Conspiracy.
He's beat them 10 times, the Falcons. Like, they're just going backwards, but... Freiermuth will do some great things for sure. He's going to be. It's not like he's going to turn up tomorrow and then get four touchdowns. He will get better over the season. My number one this week was your number three. So I went Melvin Ingram. So I did the same. Yeah. I thought he played really well, and coming into this week too, he's going to play. Hopefully, play lights out and then has a really good game. I like his mentality. I like his toughness. Reminds me a bit of James Harrison. He just goes in there and works. So I give him 1 point just because he got the sack there, and it could have been a little bit different too if TJ was on the field and he was on the other side. That was a close game, but he's trying hard out there. He just needs a bit of help. Who's your number one?
Number one is in like 1 point. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Is Terrell Edmonds. Terrell Edmonds had a sneaky really? Good game. Yeah. Okay. Mate, six tackles. He, five of them were solo, and he had two tackles for a loss. And it wasn't until I went back and looked at parts of the game, which was a really frustrating thing to have to do when you have a loss like that. Terrell Edmonds is a guy fighting for a contract, whether it's with the Steelers or somewhere else. And he's having a good season so far. Like he's a big deal for this Steelers team. What I think, he's someone that could do a lot this week. And in fact, he might even feature in my, a punt of the week, later on in part two of the show. But to close out part one this week, I wanted to bring up the super chat we've got. Five Canuck Bucks. Ooh, looks like a cool wolf from profile image here from X Eddie B, who says, are we cursed because we have too many great wideouts so we won't see the fullback or the other RBs or TEs? I don't know. Mark, from your perspective, are you thinking that we're... I think what it means here is are we limited by the fact we, have these great wideouts and TDs, so working in the fullback doesn't really make sense at times.
Yeah, I don't know if we're cursed, but they're saying that. Yeah, we said it before. The running backs won't get the football unless it's Najee, or the fullback won't get the ball, or won't have that certain package because we do have like excellent receivers. We have three or four guys there that are just standouts, and until we have some sort of possession, but. In saying that as well, like if Ben's running this team, he wants to run it the way he's running it, which has always been his way for the last, 10 years. So imagine if you had a rookie quarterback in there or someone who were just like, had not Mason, but someone else had in there, you'd probably have more featuring the running backs and different formations to do with that. But we've really just got to like hold this ball. I can't believe that we're not getting the snaps. Like 49 snaps is just so poor. We need to be up to 60 to 65 to 70. About 65 snaps to really have control of this game.
Yeah. And that's a really key point you bring up, Mark, because I was looking at, and I just want to make sure I get this right. I don't want to stuff this one up, but I was looking at our time of possession and I think it was like 2 minutes. Yeah, it was 2 minutes 29 is our average time of possession for a drive. That's win you football games.
That's terrible. That's ridiculous.
Like, as long as you don't throw picks, like there's this common saying out there, the best, offense is defense or whatever it is. But like, sometimes the best defense is offense, right? If you've got the ball, the other team can't score. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't. Like, I it's used in other sports sometimes, and in sports similar to the NFL, like, when you're talking, there's obviously a shot clock in basketball and what have you, but like in the rugby sports, in soccer, what have you, if you've got the ball, the other team can't score, right? So
that's pretty bad, Matty. 2 minutes to hold the ball and you're getting like maybe one first down. That's got to change.
Mate, they're averaging really 5.5 plays.
That's not good. I didn't know that. I really didn't know that. That's
the average drive is 28 yards right now.
28 yards for a drive?
For a drive.
What are you trying? Oh boy.
And this isn't PFF. This isn't fake numbers. This is Pro Football Reference.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
I mean, penalties factor in. They've had 10 penalties for 75 yards.
We're moving the ball 24 yards. Can we go to part two? And I'm going to rant about that. I'm going to have to do something about that.
This has been a long part one. But with that, that wraps up part one of this week's Steelers Touchdown Under. I'm Matt Peverell. This is my co-host, Mark Davison. If you're on the audio side, please flick over to part two. We're going to talk, obviously, slinging the slang as always. We're going to talk about things to watch out for in this game against Cincy. And then, of course, we're going to take live audience Q&A, which we always love to do. When my phone